Good morning, family. Look at someone you didn't come with. Tell them, you really do look blessed. You got to speak out what you believe. Go ahead and sit down. I was just wondering what all of y'all are doing here since the world came to an end on the 23rd. The planets aligned and prognosticators of gloom and despair were saying all kinds of stupid things. Y'all can go ahead and start passing out the notes. And I even had pastors call me and say, what do you think about all this? And I said, well, climate change is a crock of manure, and the world ending on the 23rd and cataclysmic, bad stuff happening on the 23rd. Sometimes I get my mitts watered, my tongue twisted, and words don't come out like they should. But you've got to remember what God's Word said. And I said to people, well, there's too many things God promised that haven't occurred yet. He promised an end-time wealth transfer. He told Moses that one more time before the end, I'm going to do this. I'm going to cause the wealth of the sinner to come into the hands of the righteous. And I'm excited about that.
Amen.
Because this is our season.
Amen.
And if God could bankrupt Egypt and bless them so much that when they melted down the jewelry and gold they were carrying, they were able to layer the walls of the temple in solid gold. Nearly 4,000 pounds of gold. Not to mention the fine clothes and emeralds and rubies and sapphires and sparklies. And God said, when I do it again, I'll do it to a greater extent. I like the sound of that. And I said, God said, there was coming a revival before the return, the like of which the world has never seen. Now, have any of those events happened? And I said, you can get down to the practical side. God said Donald Trump will be a two-term president. He ain't even got 4 years in yet. So that means he's got to have a second term before anything cataclysmic can happen. And then after he's had his 8 years, Vice President Pence will get his 8 years, and things will continue. If you're wondering why I've got this silvery bag in my hand, these are freezer bags. And some of you have seen them before. My wife thinks they are storage bags. She puts lamps and vases and glass whatnots and stuff in them, and they're so well padded they don't get broke. But that padding is also temperature padding, and you can put an ice brick or some ice in here and put your cold items in it, and they'll stay cold for 24 hours. Or you can have these in the back of your car. When you're going to the store, you can put the milk and the cold stuff in it, and it'll keep it cool till you get home. Now, there are a bunch of these in the East Room. Take as many as you want. And I've got more of them, and I'll apologize. I forgot to bring the ice bricks. But I've got several cases of ice bricks, and I'll bring those, and then you can have ice bricks. And you can throw an ice brick in the freezer overnight, then put it in here. You can throw in your soft drinks and go to the ball game, and then throw the ice chest away if you want to. But help yourself to those, enjoy them. Also on the back table here and in the break room, there are some flyers about Decision, Texas. On October the 18th, Franklin Graham will be at Dell Diamond for a Decision Texas move. And these flyers, you can put them out. You can take a few like this that's loose back there, or you can take a package of them, put them out to friends and let them know. We know that making a decision for Christ is not the answer. But it's better than where they are. And if we can get them to make a decision, maybe we can get them to make a life choice. So if you want to take some of those flyers, put them out, let people know. And I think they were worried that not enough people would come, so every night they're going to have fireworks display after the altar call. So that'll be the only fireworks you get to witness, because you're not going to a fiery place anymore. I'm glad that y'all did survive the end of the earth. Sometimes I wonder, do people have any brains at all to even consider some of this mess, let alone run out in fear and terror? It just doesn't make any sense to me. For those of you who are interested in changing your estate in life, I ran across an author this week of a new book called Trash Man to Cash Man. It would be a good book for you to order. Trash Man to Cash Man. This gentleman was working as a trash collector for $6.25 an hour. And he began to look into God's word, and he saw that he didn't just die for our sins, he died for our poverty. And he began to study the biblical principles on obtaining wealth. He began to realize that the lowest form of income is working for a living. You're trading your muscles for money. And the only way to get more money is to work the muscles longer. And so he started realizing the different estates, working for a living, management, where you're managing other people who are working for a living. Goes on up. The highest form of economic development is ideas. Pastor, I thought it was inventions. Inventions only come from ideas. And if you learn to capture ideas, you can become wealthy. Many of you have had a time where you saw a new invention out there and you went, I thought about that a couple of years ago. Well, what'd you do with that thought? Applying ideas is the easiest way to accumulate wealth. Whether that idea is investing or inventing or developing. But he takes you through those, and the book is called Trash Man to Cash Man. He went from $6.25 an hour to averaging $10 million a year now. How many know that $10 million a year income is better than 6 1/4 as a trash man? Now, there's nothing wrong with being a trash man. There's dignity in working for a living. But you're on the bottom of the economic development because you can't work hard enough to make enough money. There's only so much time and only so many muscles you have to expend. And pretty soon, you've traded your muscles for money so much that your muscles are dead. And so are you. But if you want to change your thinking and come into a higher plane, order the book, Trash Man to Cash Man, and see what God will teach you out of the principles he learned that took him from the dump to a mansion. And anybody can go there, because it wasn't his degree, it wasn't his sterling education, it was something that T.L. Osborne said many years ago. All you need is an idea from God. All you need is an idea from God, and you can become successful. And if you learn to live in that successful realm of ideas, you'll never have to work for a living again. Just sharing that with you, I don't get any proceeds from the book, don't even know the man, but I like what he had to say. He was educational to me to look at the different levels of economic development. Well, let's see, we've covered Decision, Texas. A good book to read. We've laughed at the disaster that didn't occur on the 23rd. So if Brother John would come and pray over the word, get ready to leap into the final session, the third session of Learning the Walk That Wins. The just shall live by faith. Not the just gets to use faith when they really need it. Faith is a way of living that affects every area of your life. It's God's idea for your success. Trust God. Brother John.
Thank you, Father. Bless your name, Father. We thank you. You are the God that does all things well. You are he who is from everlasting to everlasting. Father, we thank you, for you are a mighty God, a strong God. Once you have stretched out your hands, Father, there is none who can turn it back. We thank you, Lord, for you are the God who leads and guides all our steps. The future that you have decreed and planned for us is established and shall come to pass. You are the King of glory, and we exult in you, Father. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is exalted above your name, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your might, which shatters the darkness, Lord. Now we lift up our man of God and thank you that you have crowned him with wisdom. You have crowned him with understanding. He is filled with your spirit, and right now he is led by your spirit to speak your word in season right now for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the hovering of your spirit is in this place. We thank you, Lord God, for the thickness of your presence, Lord. We thank you that every one of our hearts is laid open and bare before your eyes with you, to you, with whom we have to do. And we thank you, Lord, as we are open to hear and receive, that your word pricks our heart and moves our feet to action. We thank you, Lord, that now is our time, that now is our season, that darkness falls away before us, chains of slavery fall away before us, and we are free to be all that you have called us to be right now, in this time, in this place. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome your word. We welcome your presence. Thank you.
Lerabiama Karia Sikoria Satu Commanda Kadia Sokrabiashe Setu Commana Kadia Sikrabia Shatu Kudese Bokaria Satu Kudia Sokrabia Shatu de Riasa Copa Bakaria Manidia Nogoria Briasi Ole Lilia Yacola de Yasoko Bobaka El Riamana Kati Kimanata Kete Hail Riabriasa Sokria Sikamadaka Hamaka Yash shata kudia sakrobia she. Hekria sata kudia se. Sekrobia shata kudinima riasi. Sekrobia shata kudia sata kudia sokrobia sha. Lekria sikrobia sha. Hoko bababokria sikrobia shat kudia se. Hekria sata kudia sakrobia sha. Sata kudia sokrobia sha. Thy will is done. I have spoken, I have decreed, this is your season, this is your time, this is what I have called you for and to. This is the season for you to possess what I have given unto you. I didn't say it was coming. I said, I have released it. It is yours, but you have to lay hold of it. The enemy will stop you if you let him. But I have given you everything that you need, everything that I have promised, even as it was spoken today. What I did for Israel, I have done for you. You will be ahead of the curve. You will possess. While others are saying, yes, he said it, and it will be. I say, your will be is your now. Even today, you can have what has been spoken. You can step into a new realm of abundance, spiritually, mentally, financially, in every realm that I have called you to. This is a step up in giftings. If you lay hold of the word, if you lay hold of the purpose, the purpose that you are here, the purpose that this church was called to, the reason this man will not die until the vision is fulfilled, you lay hold and you will see and possess and go into a new realm if you want what I want and what I have decreed for the purpose I have decreed it. You can have it. This is a critical time and message for you to step into something you've never known or seen and to see yourself in a way that you have never seen yourself. You can possess it today.
You can possess it today, but you have to make the decision. What's sad is watching religion today when at the cross he took our sins, our grief, our sorrow, our sickness was upon him. And he became poor that we might become rich. And people go, well, I'll take the salvation, but I don't know about that healing stuff. It was the same price. Well, I want the salvation. I want to go to heaven someday and escape hell, but I'm not sure about that. He became poor that I could become rich. I'll just suffer along with what I've got. It's your choice. He died and rose from the dead to provide it all. Now, if you want to live beneath your privileges, but I believe, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Salvation is a benefit, but so is health, wealth, joy, peace, triumph over grief and sorrow. Why not take the whole package? I want it all. I want it now. This is the third in the series, Learning the Walk That Wins. And through the first two lessons, we learned that not only did our Lord teach faith, but he lived faith. He was living faith when he reached and put his hands on a leper because it was highly contagious. And he had to believe that the anointing in him was greater than the leprosy on that individual. When he said and let a hooker wash his feet, he had to believe that his righteousness was greater than the judgment of men and what they would say if he let her touch him. Because in that day it was a cardinal sin to hang out with a hooker or a tax collector. And he did both. So while the church was walking around being pious with their prayer shawls on, he was out at the local tavern talking with the tax collectors and the hookers and telling them there's a better way. You don't have to live off the backs of other people. You can do it. You can rise above all this. So that even when he went to the cross, he exemplified that faith that named the end from the beginning. And on the cross, before he entered into torment, he said, "It's finished." He was speaking his faith. When the bill shows up, don't go, "Oh no," go, "It's finished." When a symptom shows up, don't go, "Oh, I guess I better go to Walgreens. Wait, CVS is just across the street." I don't know why they do that. If you find a Walgreens, just look around. You'll see the CVS. I think they'd want to build where the other one wasn't rather than right across the street from them. No, when symptoms try to manifest, you go, "No, it is finished. With his stripes, I was made whole." Amen. Bill, it is written, "Himself became poor that I could become rich." Rich people don't worry about bills. They pay them. "Therefore, I will pay these bills." Bills, you don't know it, but you have an appointment with paid off. Amen. Pastor, do you believe that? Not only do I believe it, I live it. I expect God to do exactly what he said. Yes. And I'm willing to step out and celebrate the victory before the trial is really reaching full potential. Because what you can celebrate, you can possess. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. "I assure you that whatsoever or whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and doesn't waver but believes that what is said will really happen, it will happen. Therefore, I say to you, whenever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive it. When you pray, and it will be so for you." You see, the secret is you've got to believe it when you pray it, not when you see it. And a lot of people don't understand this, and they think, "Well, I'm going to go to Mount Bonnell and tell it to jump into Lake Travis and see what happens." No, that's not what he was saying there. He was talking about the mountains of opposition that occur in your life. When they come up, wherever they come up, you can say to that mountain of opposition, "The price was paid for you. I don't have to put up with you opposing me. Now get out of my way." Have the God kind of faith. Put your trust in Daddy God. Daddy God will never fail you. God might. "We beseech thee, most benevolent Lord and God of all creation." If my son showed up at the house and started talking to me that way, I'd go, "What happened to you? I'm Pop. You don't come in on your knees begging for something." Now, he sometimes tries to be tactful and drops a hint. "I could be running a little short this month." "All right, son, how short?" Speak to the mountains of challenge, delay, and defeat, and speak new covenant truth boldly before the change. No, I'm telling you, you're under the blood. You recovered in the resurrection. I have authority over you, and you're not going to delay me any further. Now get out of my way. Pastor, I'd feel stupid talking to my problems. You learn to talk to your problems and you'll feel redeemed. Our Lord and Redeemer gave us an example of speaking the end from the beginning. And he told us in Isaiah chapter 46:10, I am the God who names the end before I let it get started. Pastor, what does that mean to my life? Judith can rest assured in every situation that God has already pronounced an end on that thing before it ever got to come to her life. The devil comes by and says, I'm going to go do this to Damon. The Lord says, let me see that. And the devil hands him what he's got planned for, and God sticks a way of escape into it and says, go ahead. People ask from time to time, why does good things happen to bad people? Because you're alive. Bad things happen to good people so that they can triumph over them. In the world, you'll have tribulation. What do you say? As long as you're living, all hell's going to break loose. But be of good cheer. I've already won that battle for you. Take my victory, not the problem. Let my victory speak for you. And your new covenant is filled with promises that you can speak to the problems. Amen. Pastor Jim, why did you have to go through 7 months in the hospital? I don't know. But I know this, I'm stronger today in my trust of God than ever was before. And I learned how, when I could barely speak, to say to visitors, celebrate the victory with me. Join hands and celebrate with his stripes, I was healed. You can't even walk. Don't matter what my body tells me, it's what this tells me. This tells me with his stripes I was made whole. I choose to stand with this, and therefore I'm standing here today. And when you've had doctor after doctor tell you there's nothing we can do for you. And when I go back to visit the hospital sometimes, we'll see one of the doctors from my case and they'll go, you know, we never expected you to live. My surgeon told me there's no medical reason for you to be alive. I don't need a medical reason. I've got a promise. With his stripes I was made whole. Do you believe the promise more than you believe the problem? You see, that's the crux of the matter. We believe the problem because we can see it more than we believe the answer that we can't see. So he said to us in Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things that are seen, the problem, the test, the trial, the temptation, but we look at the promise God gave us, which we can't see, but it's more real than what we can see, because what we can't see will change what we can. Amen. When he had received the sour wine, he said, it's complete. It's finished. Bowing his head, he gave up his life. He gave up his life in faith to teach us that even he had to trust God. Even he, the Son of God, the Lord, had to trust Daddy to win over his mountain. You got to tell them mountains, you can't have me. You can't have my health. You can't have my finances. You can't have my family members. You can't have my job. But they're closing the factory. So, the God who made this way will make another way. Bad things happen to good people, but you got to decide, I ain't letting it happen. Pastor, why do you carry a gun? Because bad things happen, and if I see it coming, it ain't going to happen. I was in a store the other day, and a clerk there said, you carry that everywhere? And I said, yeah, I carry it everywhere. Because there are situations everywhere that would like to steal from me. But you're less likely to steal from me with holes in you than you are without. Well, Brother Jim, I thought we were supposed to live by faith. I do. I've been to the range and I have faith in my aim. People say, well, a Christian shouldn't do that. In Luke, Jesus said to his disciples, are we packing heat? And they said, two of us are. He said, that's good. Then he said, times are going to get evil to the point that one day you're going to have to sell your coat to buy you some heat. Now, in their day, it was swords. I've got swords, and they're illegal to be carried in Texas now. I just don't understand some idiot walking down the street with a sword hanging from his belt, but it's legal now. They also made Bowie knives legal. And I got some Bowie knives that are... I don't know how to carry one of those. I have to be like Crocodile Dundee and have a scabbard on my back. Because it'd weigh your pants down if you tried to carry it. But if Jesus said, packing heat is good, I'm going to pack heat. Unarmed faith is good. Armed faith is better. I don't have to stop to pray. I just stop to reload. The New Covenant believer is called to be the light of the world. You weren't called to be ruled by the world, to be robbed by the world, to be imprisoned by the world, to be indentured by the world. You were called to light the world with the presence of God in you. He was the light of the world. Now that he's gone, you are the light of the world. That means he expects you to take his place and rule and reign in life as kings and priests unto God. The New Covenant believer is empowered to walk in his authority, to do his deeds. And I gave you some scriptural references you can look up on your own. But in John, he said, the works that I do shall you do in greater. In Mark, he said, these signs will, not could, might, may. He said, these signs will follow a believer. Well, Pastor, what if I'm not healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out the devil? There's a weak spot in your believing. Many fail to understand John 14, 13, and 14 because of a lack of knowledge of the truth. And deception creeps in. This passage is not prayer. It's not a rubber stamp where you walk around and pray anything you want and go, in Jesus' name. God is not moved by that, and neither is the mountain. This passage talks about the release of power as we walk in His likeness. It's not asking Him to do it for us. It's us taking the authority He gave us and doing it. I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. Well, see, Brother Jimmy says He'll do whatever we ask in His name. So I said, in Jesus' name, He has to do it. Well, first of all, His name was never Jesus. It was Yeshua. Second of all, to be in that name doesn't mean to use it loosely for whatever you want. It means to align with the purpose for which that name was given. I have a friend, I have an acquaintance who's passed now, and he hired a new secretary at his church. And she decided he wasn't giving enough, so she started writing $10,000 checks to Jerry Seville and Kenneth Copeland and Happy Caldwell and others. And he came in to see where all the money went, and she said, well, I have the authority to write checks and to sign on your account, so you weren't giving enough, so I took care of it. Now he's got to fire the secretary because she wasn't doing it in his name. She was doing it in her will. Because if she had been doing it in his name, she would have been protecting his funds. Not writing checks her faith could have never cashed. When you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Is what you're asking aligning with a promise from your new covenant? Or is it just something you're hoping will happen and so you stick in Jesus' name on it, thinking that rubber stamp will get it through? It won't. You've got to align with His will and plan and purpose, and then it happens. It happens big time. When you are fulfilling the cause for which He came, to redeem the earth, to restore mankind, to exhibit the Father's love, then all things will work for your good. But when you're just wanting what you want and thinking I'll ask for it in Jesus' name and then I have to get it, it ain't going to happen. That check won't cash. The new covenant believer is to come boldly before the throne of grace. Hebrews tells us in 4:16, you're redeemed, you're born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The name anointed Redeemer, or Yeshua, gives us standing before the Father. But to come in that name, we've got to come in a promise that He gave us. I say this and I hope people are listening. You're not really praying if you're not praying the Word. If there's a new covenant promise that covers everything that pertains to life and godliness, then all you got to do is pray the Word and it'll happen. But Pastor, the world is changing. I know. I thought today when I was putting on my jacket, I thought about when the Cowboys had another coach. And it was a regular feature of America's team to take a knee before every game. But they took a knee because Tom would lead them in prayer. Today, when football players take a knee, it is not praying to God, it's disrespect of our nation and its heritage. What a long ways they've come. But I can still wear the cowboy jacket because Jerry Jones said, this is my field, this is my team, and I sign the checks. You take a knee and I ain't signing. And I said, all right. He finally did something right. It's about time. And if he can do it, all the owners could do it. You want your check signed, you'll bow your head and respect the flag. When you were born again, you were cleansed once and for all. Now the devil would like to convince you that you got Mexican jumping bead salvation, that it jumps in and out every time you say shucky darn. That's not true. He died once for all. Well, Pastor Jim, that was all my sin up till I received him. No. It was all sin for all time because he didn't die for your sins. He died for sin. Therefore, sin has no hold on you as a born-again child of God. Oh, Pastor Jim, that sounds like some of that greasy grace. Grace ain't greasy, it's easy. He did it all, so I don't have to. I'm not in right standing with God because of the good things I've done. I'm in right standing with God because of the good thing I accepted. Eternal salvation. What is wrong with your understanding of eternal? I didn't get temporary salvation until I had a bad thought, a bad deed, lost my temper. I can get cut off in traffic and Jesus doesn't run and hide. He may wait till I'm through with him, but as a born-again child of God, you have freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, freedom from fear, freedom from failure, so we may stand boldly before the Father's throne and obtain grace, obtain mercy, obtain appropriate help at the appropriate time. Yes. The devil knows you've got eternal salvation. He's got to make you doubt that through fear, through doubt, through unbelief. Because if he can get you to doubt what you've got, he'll give you what you don't want. One more time. If he can get you to doubt what you have, he'll give you what you don't want. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, whether I just lost my temper or not, because my eternal salvation is not based upon my works, but his. The devil would like to convince you that your salvation was a gift of God, but after you get that gift, you have to keep it clean. You couldn't do it, and you can't keep it. You just have to believe it. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? I live by what Jesus said, not by what the bill said. What the lawyer said, the doctor said, the judge said. I have seen people who were guilty of a crime who turned after they were caught to the Lord and the court lost the evidence. And they went to court and said, well, we know he did it, but we can't find the evidence. It got misplaced. No, the blood happened. And it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Walk boldly in what the Word of Truth says about you, not in what others say about you, not in what the devil says about you, not in what fear, doubt, and unbelief says about you. God said, you are eternally my child. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can pry you out of my hand. Not even you. You have to turn around and walk away from me and deny me. Otherwise, we're in this for eternity. I like eternal salvation. I don't like religious salvation. I grew up in churches that had a rededication service once or twice a month. We know that we sin and come short of the glory of God. So the altars are open for you to come and rededicate your lives. Pardon? I can't lose eternal life. I can't misplace it. It's eternal life. You've got to get an attitude. Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. We're starting with this mountain you just launched against us. But when we're through cleaning up all of our problems, we're going to start taking care of others. And we're going to redeem the earth because we've been called to redeem the earth. What the Word of Truth stipulates, we can stand on in full assurance. Daddy, you said that you supply all of my need. Therefore, I name this bill paid. Your word says, with the stripes I was made whole. Therefore, I name this physical attack beaten. If I will stand on his word will bring to pass what he promised. This is our season of harvest and of overflow. Are you praising God in it? Are you believing God for it? Are you decreeing it's done? God wants you to have the best. Nothing came into the world without God allowing it. The devil has never invented anything. If you will begin to open your heart to God, he can give you ideas that'll totally transform your way of life. The first idea you get is, I'm not a failure. I am not a failure. I am not a failure. I am a child of the Most High God. Now, maybe I haven't learned the lessons I need to learn yet, but I'm still in school, and I will learn how to overcome, how to triumph, how to receive His best. I refuse to live beneath what he died to provide for me to live in. Amen. Health, wealth, joy, peace, eternal salvation, access to the throne of God. Wow. Yes. You as a child of God have access to the throne of God. What are you doing about it? Walk into the throne room and say, hello, Daddy. I just came to celebrate your goodness. I came to tell you, thank you for all your love, for all your mercy. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you that I am the healed of the Lord. Thank you that you supply all of my need. Thank you that you're giving me ideas by which I will overcome and triumph in life. I want to see every one of you go from trading physical labor for money to letting ideas make a place for you in the world. An idea will take you to the top. One day, somebody had an idea of putting a gasoline engine in a horseless carriage. Did you know the first horseless carriage was a steam-powered boat? A guy took a boat, put wheels on it, then attached steam power to it, and he had an amphibious car in the late 1800s. If that motor can drive that cotton gin, then it can propel a vehicle. He had a boat. He put wheels on it. He put a steam engine in it, and he could go land or water. Now, people today think when Germany invented the Amphicar car in 1967, that that was really something. No, that was repeating history. Somebody had an idea looking at a cotton gin and said, I could take that engine and I could put it over here and it would do this. Ford did not invent the automobile. A lot of people think he did. He invented the assembly line. But they were making cars in Europe before Ford knew what a car was. But when he saw a car and saw they were being made, he had a better and that idea made him extremely wealthy. Carver is known in history for what? He had an idea of a way to better the peanut crop. He had an idea of a way to better this crop and that crop. And pretty soon he went down in history for his ideas. All you need is an idea from God. Determine today I'm going to be open to God's ideas. Pray, Daddy God, you're the giver of ideas. You said you'd give me witty inventions and schemes. Therefore, I receive them, and I will no longer trade muscles for money. I'll rule and reign over cash because you're showing me a better way. Every day you hear stories of people who had an idea. They put that idea to work and their world changed. God has a place for you. God has an idea for you. You can possess it. The just shall live by trusting God and His promises. Trust is another word for faith. Faith is not believing. Faith is trusting what God said. Have you got anything? There will be ministers available to pray with you if you need prayer in any area of agreement. If you have a promise you're standing on, they would love to join together with you on that promise and speak the end from the beginning. Daddy God, I thank you for your word. For your word is our life, our breath, our health, our wealth, our joy, our peace. Your word is the underwriting of our success. And Father, from this day forward, we refuse to be bound by earth's limited means, but we will, by trusting you and availing ourselves of every promise, walk in the abundance you intended us to have. You became poor so that we could become rich, and we have no objection to being rich. Therefore, we will walk in what you died to provide. And the people said,
amen.
Love somebody, go with God. If you need prayer, the ministers await.